Hallelujah. So well, let me not say we. I've been blessed. Amen. So I can speak for myself. God has been good to me this past 2 days. You know, it says that the husbandman shall be what? First partaker of the fruits. So as I preached it, I heard it. Amen. And I'm not even sure that I knew everything I said. You know, so because preaching is prophecy, you know, it's inspired utterance. And when you do it right and you yield to God, you are not sure you heard everything or you knew everything that was said. So I'll encourage you, go listen to the messages again. And sometimes things are declared, you know, that you may think, well, maybe that's not for anybody here, but I'm very careful. The Bible says, despise not prophesying, take that which is good, I'm very careful with it. I've seen all kinds of things manifest. I've seen even words being given and people thought, oh, there's nobody there. But somebody else heard it months later on a tape, and that word was for them and they got healed. You understand? So I've seen all kinds. That makes me careful to judge prophecies. Amen. It doesn't mean that you can have false ones. We can have false ones. But I'm just very careful with it. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for all of these years. Thank God for all of these years that Surpassing Grace Assembly Ibadan has run. As I prayed this morning, I kept thinking foundations, you know, foundations, foundations. And there have been many foundations, people's foundations, people's lives foundations who are not here now. They are all over the world. I still get messages periodically and say, my foundation was built in that place, and I'm grateful to God that that foundation was the kind of foundation that I had. It has helped me even today from, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff. Now I know, because I'm grateful to God that that's where I was for the time that I was there. I'm grateful that that helped me to be the kind of believer that I am now. So for 24 years, those foundations have been laid. As I told Pastor BJ, we are carrying some people away. This morning he said, are we a factory? You know, so you want to just be carrying them away to Lagos? Are we factory? I said, well, why not? Hallelujah. But that's foundations. Amen. And we're very, 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 very grateful. I know there was somebody in the U.S. sometime, and we had to speak to the pastor. And the pastor said, thank you for this brother. He said, we are just reaping the fruit. You know, the foundation for him, his person, his life was laid over there, and we are just enjoying, you know, because he's the kind of person he is. The blessing is brought to us as a church here. We know it's not us. We haven't done anything to. We are just the ones to reap. Hallelujah. And for that, I want to appreciate the leadership of SGA Ibadan. I want to appreciate them all. One and all, very much, very much, very much, very much. Periodically, I would pop in and listen. It's such a blessing to listen. I know that if I say some things now, Pastor BJ will tell me when last I was here. And I don't want to get into trouble with him because he keeps a record of my absence. Hallelujah. But now that the road is better, God helping me, amen, I would be around a bit more when I'm around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And particularly I want to celebrate Pastor Bolaji Ajobo. When God loves a people, he gives them a good leader. That's what they said to them when the Queen of Sheba came and saw Solomon. He said, God loves his people so much, he gave them such a king like you. You know, and so when God loves his people, he gives them a good leader. So it's not about him, it's about the love that God has for you. And I dare tell you, for his many sacrifices and all of that, we appreciate you. Thank you very, very much for the work that you do. Amen. You know, again, I study a lot of church history. I study a lot of ministry things, and I do teach one or two Bible schools, and usually along some of those lines. And looking around, I see many, many great ministry gifts, but very few pastoral gifts that I really, really, really can recognize that this is a strong pastoral gift, well-developed, that does a fantastic job, and I know that he is one such person. Hallelujah. And the pastoral ministry is very, very important. Even though everybody wants to bear the title apostle, everybody wants to be a prophet, I can assure you that the pastoral gift is probably more important than any of those, because that's the one that is in, with you in the trenches. Amen. That's the person you will see day in, day out. That's the one that will baptize you. That's the one that will christen your child. That's the one that will, you know, just guide you along all of the pathways of life all the time. So a good pastor must be celebrated. Hallelujah. And appreciated. Amen. So sometime you should just call him and say, "Pastor, I want to take you to lunch. You know, Pastor, I bought you this. Pastor, I bought you that." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And in case you are wondering, he didn't ask me to say that. Amen. He asked me to say that. The problem with a good pastor is that he won't even say anything. He will spend and be spent for you. Amen. That's one of the signs. So Mark chapter 2, are you there? Mark chapter 2, we have been reading for the past 2 days as our text. Because again, we have the theme, new beginnings, colon, new wine, new wineskins. And we take our text from Mark chapter 2 to, in order to see new wine and new wineskins and to get a bit of what God is saying. So it says in Mark chapter 2 from verse 18, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskin, or else the new wine busts the wineskin, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin." So we began to look at this theme of new beginnings, new wine, new wineskins. And day one, we focused on the new wine itself. Day two, yesterday, we focused on the new wineskin. Day three, we are still talking about the new wineskin. Because we have no doubt whatsoever. I have no doubt whatsoever about the goodness of God. I have no doubt whatsoever about the capacity or the capability of God. I have no doubt at all that God wants to and will do us good. Can I have an amen? I know that the thoughts of God towards us are good. I know that his plans towards us are good. I know that he also has the ability to do the good, every good that he has in mind towards us. Are you there? Mark chapter 9, Jesus came down from praying, and he met a man who had brought his child. And he said, "Look, help me, because I brought my child to your disciples, and he has a devil, but they could not cast it out." He said, "Sometimes that devil would throw him into the fire, sometimes into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, they couldn't cast him out." And he said, "If you can do anything, if you can do anything, then help me." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible," verse 23, "to him that believes." What was he saying? He was saying, there's no doubt about my own ability to do something. Are you hear what I'm saying? So when God is speaking towards new beginnings, there's no doubt about what God can do for us. There's no doubt. You know, in fact, in Acts, they were talking and they said, I think that's Acts 16, and they said, "Why would you think it incredible that God should raise the dead?" You know, so what they are saying is that when we start talking about God, we remove impossibilities. Are you hear what I'm saying? And when we start discussing God, then all impossibilities become irrelevant. Can I have an amen? So when God then is speaking to us, as he did from day one, and he's saying that I am going to give you a new beginning, we have no doubt about what he can do. Hallelujah. We also have no doubt about the fact that he will do it, that he wants to do it. Mark chapter 1, a man walked up to Jesus and he was leprous, and he said, if you will, you can make me, or you can cleanse me. And Jesus said, I will be whole. What was the man saying? He was saying, I don't have a doubt about your ability. I have a doubt about your willingness. Do you want to do it for me? Would you want to bless me? Am I holy enough for you to bless? Are you still there, anybody? And many people also get stuck in that regard. They are doubting. Have I done enough? No. The value of a thing is based on what is paid for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The value of a thing to the owner, it is based on what the owner paid for it. It's not based on whatever value you place on it. Are you there? I remember years ago, I bought stuff and I took it to my wife and I said, here's a gift for you. And he said, how much was it? And I told her, I said, I want it back. I said, but that's how much it is. I don't care what you think. That's how much I paid for it. So it's worth that amount. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God paid the blood of his only begotten son for you, you are worth that much to him. Are you hearing me? You are worth that much to God. So in terms of whether God wants to bless you, we will remove it, destroy it, step upon it, and perish that thought this morning. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's why he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he said, if he did not withhold his only son from you, he said, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that you need to forget all of the excuses you have for why God may not want to bless you. And you need to start realizing that God is too invested in your progress. Are you still with me? God has put in too much into your life. He has put in too much into acquiring you that he cannot back out now. Are you with me? And what will he tell Jesus? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What will he tell him? That I'm not going to bless you anymore. Jesus said, you remember, that's why the Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, these things I write to you that you may not sin. He said in verse 2, he said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and who himself was the propitiation for our sin. You know what that means? It means that the advocate doesn't argue much. When they say they're sin and the accuser is accusing you, the advocate stands there and he says, look at my hand. Look at my hand. Look at my side. That's all he needs to say. And God says it's forgiven. Are you hearing me, anybody? So there's nothing you might have done that God doesn't forgive. God is not willing to forgive and go beyond it to bless you. Are you still there? Somebody just got delivered. Are you hearing me? There's no past that is holding you back, that can hold you back from the blessings of God. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. So in terms of the new wine, God is saying, hey, I'm about to do astounding things in your life. That's why we saw then in Isaiah 43, and he said in verse 18, he said, remember not the former things, consider not the old things. He said, I will do a new thing. I will make you a way in the wilderness. That means where there is no way. You hear what I'm saying? You know, the wilderness is like the forest. So when you have a thick forest, there's no way. God says, I will make a way. God says, I will make you an expressway in the thick forest. He says, and in the desert, I will make you streams. That's what we heard on day one. Are you still with me, anybody? The reason why we don't see some of these things, and the reason why you need to take this differently, is because when God is saying something particularly for a time, you need to believe that this is God's word for me in order for you to walk in it. Are you with me?
Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, look, these things I write to you, son Timothy, that you may wage war by the prophecies that have been that have gone before you. What was he saying? He's saying when the things are being said to you prophetically, hold tight to them and wage war in the place of prayer. And say, this is what God has said to me. He said, new beginnings. I believe it. I receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The psalmist put it another way in Psalm 27 verse 13. He said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So there's an element of I grab it. I believe it. Paul said the things that were preached to us were preached to them also. He said, but they did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them who heard it. So you'll have to receive it and say, hey, they have been saying new beginning before, but this one is my own. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? You will have to seize onto it and say, I don't care who is listening and who is not listening. I don't care who is playing with the phone and who is not. This one is for me. And from now, I have new beginnings in my life. Are you still there? You know, in 2 Kings chapter 7, there was famine in the land. And Elisha said, there was famine in the land. It doesn't even matter what the prices are. You know, because the Bible says that they were selling bed poop. Okay? Is poop understandable? Eh? You understand it? They were selling bed poop for a certain amount. Now, even if it is bed poop for 50 naira per kilogram, it's still bed poop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many people eat bed poop here? Eh? It's a delicacy. How many people eat it? No hands are up. Can you imagine, Pastor? So nobody eats it. Chicken poop. Would you like it? Anybody? No. Chicken poop. No, it's the chicken you want. So when things are bad, so bad that they actually sell not the chicken, but the poop of the chicken, and people are queuing to buy the poop of the chicken. And not everybody can afford the poop of the chicken. Then things are really bad. Am I right? I say, am I right? And then the prophet stood and said, thus saith the Lord. Not in 6 months' time. You know, because if the economist, there can be some economic variation. There can be, you get what I'm saying? The prophet stood and said, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, not chicken poop, but the chicken will be so cheap that it will be so easy to afford to buy and all of that. And the king's right hand man stood. I guess the guy reacted. You understand? Well, there are things that you react to because he couldn't stand it. And he said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, he said it cannot happen. And the man said, well, it will happen. You will see it, but you won't eat of it. That's the power of believing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It did happen. The man did see that it happened, but the people in their rush to go and get the food trampled upon him and killed him. What am I saying to you? Believe what God is saying to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? Believe it against all odds. Believe it despite your situation now. Believe it despite what is happening in our environment. Forget all of those things and understand that the moment we introduce God into the matter, everything else is suspended. Are you still there? That's why I said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. On day two, we began to see that we need to be prepared as wineskins. You know, because again, back to our text, what Jesus was saying was that if you take the new wine and you pour it into the old wineskin, if you take on the new things that God wants to do and you don't prepare the wineskin, you don't prepare yourself as the wineskin to receive what God wants to do, then it has the ability that it can bust you through. You can fall apart under the weight of the progress, the prosperity, the abundance, the blessings that God wants to bring your way. If you do not prepare for it, then you might just as well collapse under it. Are you still there? And therefore we saw that he said to us that now, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the first thing we're beginning to see about preparing the wineskin is that the soul of the wineskin must prosper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to stop thinking the way we used to. We need to stop thinking the way everybody else thinks. We need to start getting our minds aligned with God's way of thinking. In Isaiah 55, he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, as far as the heavens are above the earth, he said, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. What he was saying there is not just the amount or the quality. He was talking of the quality of the thoughts. He was talking about the quality of it, not just the quantity of it, but the quality of it. That the way I think is way superior to the way you think. Are you hearing me? And there is work to do in order to be aligned with the way that God thinks. But as we begin to be transformed, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, by the renewal of our minds, and we begin to change the way we see things, we begin to see them the way God sees them. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, the disciple Peter was talking to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm about to die. And the Bible says he pulled him aside and he rebuked him sharply. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, because you do not see things the way God sees them. Are you hearing me? The moment you are not seeing things the way God sees them, the devil has a leeway. The devil has the opportunity to get in. The devil has the opportunity to derail you. That's why in the preparation, it's very important. And God said, emphasize on day two about the soul. Emphasize the fact that we need to stop treating church, stop treating Bible study and all of that just like a joke. We don't play church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why people are talking and saying there are many churches everywhere and yet the evil in the land is not diminishing is because there are too many people playing church. Are you hearing me? No, it doesn't mean I support those who say those things. When you say there are so many churches everywhere and things are still this way in Nigeria, I said, can you imagine if there were no churches? If it's that way now, can you imagine if there were no churches? How much worse would it be? But listen, it can be way better than it is if we don't play church with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If every time you open your Bible, it actually means something to you. The reason why, for instance, we have problems, even couples, is because people are not submitted to God's word. That's all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we are submitted to God's words as believers, we will have no problems in our homes, we'll have no problems at work. Listen, because the answers are there. But guess what? Either we read without seeing, or when we see, we ignore. Because we don't like it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't like what is requiring of us, but that is the purpose of the word of God, like we're studying yesterday. It is the fact that that word of God is like a two-edged sword. In fact, I prefer to say it's like the scalpel of the surgeon. When you sit with it and you submit yourself, you know, when you go for surgery, you are dead. When they put you to sleep, you are dead. There was a gentleman when we were in camp many years ago. They had operated him because he had appendicitis. If those who have served, you know how they do those things. I was not on in the camp at that time. I was supposed to be deputy CMD of the camp, blah, blah. So I come to Ibadan. And then when I got back, they told me there was a gentleman that had appendicitis and they had operated him. So I said, okay, can I see? So we went there. And I looked at the guy's wound. So I told the camp officials, I said, you're in trouble. They said, why? I said, that wound is infected. They said, eh? I said, yes, it is infected. You will have to redo this thing. They didn't want to agree and accept. And I asked them, what did you give him? What did you use? Which antibiotics? They told me, I said, you were just joking. So I said, you'll have to redo this thing because you're trying to save money. You know, and then the one who was the CMD also was not on the camp then. When he also came back, he took him there and said, hey, this is working. Because he said, it's very correct. This thing is infected. So he said, what do? We said, we will do it. So both of us did it. I was the anesthetist, the guy was the surgeon. So we took this very big guy and we told him we have to open up and redo this thing and so. So I gave him the anesthesia, prepared my concussion, injected him. So I said, yeah, begin to count 1 to 10. And this big guy said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he was gone. Until we finished. When we finished and woke up, the guy said, I didn't feel a thing. He said, you people should have done it the first time. He said, that first time I was feeling everything as they were doing everything. And he said, this time I was gone. Listen, what am I saying to you? You need to be gone under the scalpel of God. Are you hearing me? When you open God's word, you need to be gone. Nothing of yourself should matter except everything God wants to fix inside of you. So when you are reading it there, and God is telling you you have pride, you cry, you submit to God and say, God, I hear you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When God is telling you this is what you need to do, you don't like what he's telling you to do, but because you are dead to self and you yield yourself. That's why the Bible says that you will have to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. But how you receive it matters and determines whether it will actually save your soul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It may save the soul of A, but skip B and save the soul of C, because A was submitted to God. B was still arguing with God in his heart and in his mind. But if you will yield to him and say, everything you say, I accept to be correct. Hosea 14 and verse 9, he said, I have found the ways of the Lord to be right, and the righteous live according to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The psalmist says the same thing in Psalm 119. He said, have I judged everything that God says to be right? It doesn't matter how I feel. You know, sometimes you go to church also and pastor begins to preach. And you are thinking to yourself, who told him about me? Are you hearing me? And you are hallelujah. But then you realize that no, there was no meeting point. God is saying something to you. Then at that point, he has a choice to make, which is, am I going to obey God and fix this and apologize to her, or am I still going to walk away with pride and say, I'm the head of this house? Are you still with me? I said, are you there? Look at your neighbor. I said, I know he's not talking about you. Tell them, say, I know that you submit to God's word. We must allow God's word, you know, to cleanse us. To cleanse us. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3, he said, you are clean by the words that I've spoken to you. You are clean by the words that I've spoken to you. In 17:17, John also, he was praying and he said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. He said, your word is truth. Sanctified in the Amplified, he said, consecrate, separate, cleanse them, make them holy. Do all of those things by your word, because your word is truth. If you study the word and it doesn't seem to be doing something and cleansing you, you are not submitted yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are not submitted yet. You are like the person who collects the tablets in the clinic but takes it every now and then but doesn't follow the prescription. Then you come back and say, Pastor, it doesn't work. I tried it, it didn't work. No, the word tried you, it didn't work. You didn't work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the word works. Hallelujah. So in talking about this This new wineskin, there are three things I want to add to it. Because we are the wineskin. God wants to do something new. There are three things that I believe God wants me to say this morning, but we need to do again to prepare that wineskin, that helps prepare the wineskin and ensures that the wineskin is not brittle, is not inflexible, but that wineskin has elasticity and the ability to take on what God brings its way. Are you there? So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew the 6th chapter. Don't worry, because it's morning now. I know we can speak for 2 hours. At night, we have to worry. Am I right? People are quiet. Pastor, they've left me. They have left me. You are with me. Thank you. Thank you. And Jesus is with me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, it's John chapter 6 that Jesus preached, and the Bible says that they all left. The Bible says they left. And he told the disciples, he said, won't you leave also? And they said, where will we go? You have the words of life. Hallelujah. Are you there? Matthew 6, three things. There are three things in Matthew chapter 6 from the beginning, verses 1 to 17, that Jesus talks about as Christian disciplines. You know, rarely would you find in many places where Jesus gave instructions in a bit of detail about what people should do. Matthew chapter 6, he gave instructions about three principal things. He gave instructions about giving. He gave instructions about prayer. He gave instructions about fasting. Are you hearing me? If this wineskin must be prepared, I believe God wants me to tell you that you will have to learn the discipline of those three things. Giving, prayer, and fasting. Are you still there? Don't worry, there's no special offering. So in case you start thinking it's because of a special offering, there's none. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6 from verse 1. He said, take heed that you not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Remember, we're talking about how God prepares the wineskin. The underlying thing about giving actually is found further down in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus then began to talk about laying not your treasures here on this earth, but laying them where moth and whatever does not corrupt. Are you hearing me? But verse 21 is particularly critical. In verse 21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are you still there, anybody? He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I read the New Living Translation. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. The God's Word Translation says, your heart will be where your treasure is. And the Passion Translation says, for your heart will always pursue what you esteem as treasure. Your heart will always pursue. The underlying factor about why this is important is that your heart will always pursue your treasure and where your treasure is. For those who were here yesterday, you will recall we're talking about the fact that God has been let down by many. The fact that God gives things to people. God blesses them and they go their own jolly way. They misbehave. They have no clue what God is blessing them for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's why it's difficult, because they are not prospering as their soul is prospering. Are you still there? So fundamentally, God wants to get you to where it doesn't matter to you how blessed you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But all that matters to you is that you will do the will of God with your life. Are you still hearing me, anybody? God wants to get you to the place where you have the capacity. You know, they asked some young people and said, right, say, what's your ambition in life? One said, to be a billionaire. After that, Ningo. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not good enough. To be a billionaire, then what? Are you hearing me? So there must be something beyond being a billionaire. What will you have the billions for? One of the tricky questions they used to ask us in those days, if you got $1 million today, what will you do with it? Then you find people scratching their head. You find them saying all kinds of things. I'll buy a car for this, I'll buy a car for that, I'll buy a car for my dog, I'll put air conditioner in my dog cage. Or they tell you, if they give you $1 million and they say you must spend it within 1 week, what will you do? You can't keep $1. You must spend within 1 week. How will you spend it? Jam question. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But that's about preparation. That's about preparation. Listen, God prepares you and God wants to prepare you for where he's taking you to. So that when you get there, you don't become like Uzziah. You don't become like Asa. The Bible says that when the kingdom was established, they rose with pride. In fact, you know the interesting one that people have, if you read your Bible very well, the Bible says that when the kingdom was established in the hand of David, what was the first thing he did? Pastor saw it. Uh-huh. The Bible says he took on more wives. The first step, King David, the first step he did when the kingdom was established in his hand was he took more wives. What was his biggest problem in life? He had a problem with a woman that was not his own. Are you hearing me? He wasn't prepared for what was going. And when God became angry about that affair, what did God tell him? God said, I gave you everything that belonged to your boss. I gave the kingdom over to you. I gave his wives over to you. He said, if everything I'd given you was not enough, I would have given you more. So you didn't have to commit a sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let somebody say preparation. How, and giving has a way of training you to understand that whatever is in your hand is a tool. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That it is a tool. Listen, in Matthew chapter 19, you'll find a story also in Mark chapter 10. I'm not going to read it because of time, but I'm sure many of us know it. It's the story of the rich young ruler. And the Bible says the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked him, he said, Master, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? I'm sure Pastor has told you before that salvation, that word salvation in the New Testament doesn't just mean get saved and go to heaven. It means that receiving everything that God has for you, including the salvation of your soul, your sins are forgiven, including blessings and prosperity, including healing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Including deliverance. It's a big word that contains many things. And this man came to Jesus, and what he asked him was, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to receive the full package of God? And Jesus said to him, you'll have to keep all the commandments. The man shrugged. He said, I've done it. I've done it since I was a youth. And then Jesus looked at him and said, in order to receive all that God has for you, there's one more thing that is left. He said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the man then turned and he went away. The Bible says he went away very sad because he had much possessions. And people have rephrased and told us and said it's not so. Much possessions had him. And what Jesus was trying to say is that if you were free of those possessions didn't possess you, then you have the capacity. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? If the possessions don't possess you, you will have the capacity to take all that God wants to give to you. Are you there? Some people, the little you already have is a problem. There are some people, the little they have, you know that if this guy has more, you know that some people I joke about when I say, if this one has more than this, When he comes around, all of us will have to kneel down. Are you hearing me? God can trust people with enough, with as much as he can, because the wineskin is not ready. You know, God trained some of us over the years. I started from giving. When you give 5 naira, you know, when you say give tithe, tithe is training. Are you hearing me? It's training. So I started giving tithe. As a teenager, I started giving tithe. And you go to church, you give tithe, and I'd look at myself, I would go to church at least 4 Sundays every month. So after a while, the tithe of about 50 naira, I will break it into 10 naira that can spread across the Sundays. Because if I give the tithe once, I'm still going to go next week. Are you with me? Keep looking straight if I'm talking about you. But it's me now. I'm talking about myself. Is that okay? Anybody? Are you there, anybody? It's me. It's what I did. So I will break the money. I will spread it. I will spread it across the services. And then after a while, as my soul grew and I knew better, and as God was training me in the heart of giving, because he was trying to free my soul from the possessions, then when I will get my tithe, I will give it one Sunday and believe that the next one, because I believe I will have to give an offering anyway, every Sunday. So the next one, I must have an offering to give. It means that more money was leaving me. Are you there? But I was learning to be dissociated from those things. It's not so much or just about the fact that you give and it shall be given back to you. It's the fact that when you those things don't control you, then we can trust you with a lot. God can trust you with a lot. Are you hearing me, anybody? And then we'll move to where I will take my tithe. If I got money during the week, I will already take out the tithe. During the week before the service, I had an envelope where I would keep money that was meant for God, and I will keep it there. And the very next service that I attend, I will drop that envelope. It may be more than the ordinary, you know, when you get extra money sometimes. So it may be more than the regular money that I will get, but I have kept it. And once you see that envelope, it's gone in my hand. I remember one time I put aside some money that way, and some blessings came my way. And I said to God, God, why? He said, you've given. I said, no, it's still in my house. I'm still waiting for the next service. He said, no, you have already left it. He said, so I have already received it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Similarly, I'm still coming back myself. Similarly, there's a pastor that years ago was going to be a blessing to me. And he got a suit. He didn't have any suit. He had one suit, actually. If I remember correctly, he had one suit. And somebody blessed him with a suit. And he said that he felt God wanted him to be a blessing to me, and he was going to give me the suit. But it was in another country. So he kept the suit aside, and he gave, later on, he saw his sister who was coming around, and he gave his sister and said, give it to him when you get to Nigeria. And while the suit had not reached me, because his sister didn't reach me for some time, while the suit had not reached me, blessings were coming his way. And he said, look, it was, as far as God is concerned, it was a done deal. Are you hearing me? I moved from where God was training me that way, and it was just 5 naira here, it was just 10 naira there, it was just 20 naira here. As a matter of fact, New Covenant Church in this city, they were going to build their church, the church auditorium, and they were asking for pledges. And I felt God wanted me to be a part of it, so I made a pledge. And my pledge was for 60 naira. 60 whole naira. Are you hearing me? But that's what I could afford. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? I'm talking about how giving trains you. That 60 naira meant that I was going to have to forsake break time money. You understand? Break time, we will eat meat pie and drink. Meat pie and drink. That's what the regular study in my school. But it meant that I would not have meat pie and drink for at least 4 days out of 5. And I told myself, yes, God, I've given this to you. Are you hearing me? That was all training. Now to where we've given multiplied millions. And if you cannot, just like Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, if you cannot Eh? If you cannot handle that which is little, he said, who will trust you with that which is much? Read Luke 16. Are you hearing me? So it's training, the giving. The giving prepares your heart. It gets you to the place where when it's much, you will still do the same things. Your head will still be correct. Are you there? You know, there was a time that I was possessed by wristwatches. I was possessed by wristwatches. How many people know what I'm talking about? You know, I mean, wristwatches just haunted me. They chased me about. They haunted me. I love wristwatches. And if I had a new wristwatch, I was very happy about it for like 2 months. After that, I needed another one. And I was collecting and collecting and collecting. And one day God said, you have a problem. These wristwatches are a problem. So I said, what do I do? He said, give them away. So one day I packed them. And I was praying, God, who? Then this one, I just give this one. This one, I just give this one. They were thanking me. They were grateful. But I was experiencing deliverance. Are you hearing me? I didn't need their thanks. God was doing deliverance for me. And I've been delivered ever since then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've had wristwatches, but they don't really matter. The longest wristwatch that's been with me is the one I'm wearing today. And you know how long it's been with me? Eh? 21 years. 21 years. That's with me. Before then, it was with my father. Are you hearing that? But it doesn't bother me. Are you still there, anybody? Listen, so we must experience, we must allow God to prepare our wineskin through the giving. When God is prompting your heart and he's saying, just like he said to that rich young ruler, and he said, this is the one thing that remains for you to get the salvation. He said, give what you have. Go and sell it. Give it all. The interesting thing about it is this. Before I move on to point number 2. The interesting thing about it is this. If you read that whole chapter down, Matthew chapter 19, you will discover. Because when that man left and he was upset and sad, the Bible says because he had much possessions. Then the disciples moved close and said, Master, what was that about? And he said, look, it is very difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven. It's as difficult as a camel going through the eye of a needle. Forget the theology around that one. You understand? He said, it's difficult. And then he said, ah, Master, who then can be saved? Meaning they also had some things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because they would just say, okpeo. If they were broke, poor, they would say, okpeo. But they just say, ah, baba. Who then can be saved? But the very interesting thing, verse 29. Because Jesus then said to them, there's nobody who has given up houses, given up this, given up that for my sake and the gospel that will not receive 100 times in this life. So meaning that if that guy did what he said, he stood the chance of becoming even richer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that what Jesus was trying to do was deliverance for that guy. It wasn't really about making him broke. That was not the theology. That was not the gospel. That was not the intention. The intention was, I need to make you free of these things, and then I can give you a lot more. Are you still there? Look at your neighbor. Say, can God trust you? Number 2, Jesus spoke about prayer. So Matthew chapter 6. Number 2, he spoke about prayer. You know, let me say this about the giving. We need to follow the Bible as it is. And I used a term, and I call it real giving. He wants you to become a real giver. A real giver is the one who gives without, wanting the show of it. A real giver doesn't want your acclaim. A real giver doesn't wait for you to say thank you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing me? This one that you give and you want to be acknowledged. You give and you want them to put a plaque on the wall of the church. This new Grace Community Center was supported by Prince Noenshemi. You've received everything you can receive. It's that plaque. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you become a real giver when you don't care, because you know that you are just entrusted with the resources by God. I want to talk of now that even churches are doing award ceremonies. And you become a platinum giver. Yes, church. And they give you an award. And you come up and you receive the award and you take photograph as the platinum giver. They give you an award as the best giver. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says no. When he's saying that you don't let your left hand or your know what your right hand is doing, it's not talking about you squeezing the naira and mutilating the naira. When they bring offering back your way, then you squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it. And the only reason why you are squeezing it is because it's 50 naira. Are you hearing me? And when the money is big and you brought $100, then you hold it straight. It's smooth and straight. They can see that you are not a real giver yet. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Matthew 6 verse 5. I know that I've virtually almost run out of time. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. So look at it. It's talking about our motives. What's going on in your hearts? People like to pray and be known to be, that guy's a prayer warrior. It's a real prayer warrior. No. What Jesus was saying is that what you do in your closet is more important. What you do privately that is just between you and God is more important. Are you still with me, anybody? He said in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I'll move very quickly. But transformations happen in the place of prayer. The Bible said that Moses will go up, he will go and sit with God and commune with God. And when he comes back, he didn't even realize. But his face was glowing. Transformation was happening. The people will have to put a veil. But he didn't realize it. It's the people that realize, his face is shining, his face is shining. Listen, if you are somebody who learns the discipline of private prayer, things will happen in your life. Changes will take place in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may not even know when some of those changes are taking place, but when people see you, they will know that something is happening to this guy. The late Paul Yonggi Cho said, he said, when I don't pray for a day, I know it. He said, by the time I'm doing 2-3 days, my wife knows it. He said, by the time I'm doing 1 week, everybody knows. Have you ever found out that you are more irritable when you are not praying? Huh? Don't worry now. There are many people like us. How many people have discovered that you get angry very easily? When you have not been spending time with God, you've not been praying as you should. That's when everybody steps on your last nerve. Say that everybody's stepping on my nerve. It's because your nerves are exposed. Are you hearing me? It's your problem. Go and cover your nerves. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? If you spend the time on your knees, who you are will be different. You will change. They saw the disciples in Acts chapter 4. They spoke, and the people said, they are unlearned, they are uneducated. They said, they've been with Jesus. Transformation happens when you pray. Are you still there, anybody? A lot of good things, great things, amazing things happen. Your life will change. Your person will change. Your capacity will change. How you see God, how you see situations will change. Situations won't face you easily. When everybody sees something, they'll say, Moko, you won't join them. And they'll be wondering, how come you are speaking with confidence? Why are you still smiling when we are all in this situation together? It's because you are seeing it differently. You are a completely different kind of wineskin, a completely different kind of person. Your capacity is different. Are you hearing me, anybody? You know, when the Bible begins to talk in Ephesians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, what? Long suffering. The patience, the ability to just take things on and take them on calmly as if no shaking comes from the presence of God. Are you still there, anybody? Number 3 and the last one. is fasting. Remember our main text, Mark chapter 2, Jesus was talking about fasting in particular. And they were asking, and he said, look, we fast, but your disciples do not fast. How come they do not fast? The disciples of John fasted, but your own disciples are not fasting. And that's why he said to them that you don't put new wine in new wineskin. It might be a different way. So if you look, for instance, in the Old Testament, you find a lot of prolonged fasting. If you look in the New Testament, you won't find many. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when I say New Testament, I'm talking about from the book of Acts. You won't find many of 40-day fast or any such stories. You won't find them. So it may seem like it's different, but Jesus said they will fast. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How they do it, what they do might seem different a little bit, but the core of it is the same. They will fast. The first thing he was saying to them was that it makes the spiritual things real. Because he said, while the bridegroom is here, they are seeing me physically. So they won't fast now. He said, but when they can't see me physically and spiritual things seem a little intangible to them, spiritual things don't seem real to them, he said they will fast in those days because fasting will make those things real to them. Are you there? Regular fasting should be a discipline of every believer. White fasting, dry fasting, red fasting, partial fasting, whatever you call it. But fasting, sha. Look at your neighbor, say fasting, sha. Psalm 35, 13. He said, I humbled myself with fasting. So you understand what it works on the wineskin. I humbled myself. Fasting brings you back down to grade level one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It brings you back. You remind yourself that I am only human. You remind yourself that there's no big deal about me but for God. He said, I humbled myself with fasting. Psalm 69, he changed that and he called it, he said, I chastened my soul with fasting. So there's something about fasting that deals with you, that gets in the inner core of your person and deals with you and makes you to be grounded. Are you hearing me this morning? So if you're a believer, you need to be fasting. You want your wineskin prepared and ready. A gentleman, while I was reading his story, he has one of the best books I've read on fasting that I enjoyed so much. He said he worked in a psychiatric facility and he had this boy there that couldn't do anything right, was just off, and he had it from birth. He said the boy would cut himself. And not only so, he said every other person, every other child in that facility, they would taunt him, they would push him down because he couldn't stand well, he couldn't manage himself well. He had also, he had bad defects. And they would slap him, they would do that for fun and all of that. He said, and his heart was bleeding for this guy. And God told him, go on a fast. He said, and he went for a fast, on a fast for a few days, praying for that guy. He said, and when he came one day, he pulled the guy aside, he laid hands upon him, said God's power hit him real hard, and that boy became normal. Are you hearing me? Fasting doesn't change God, but it will change you. Fasting is not about threatening God and say, I'm not eating you. So you know I'm not eating you. It's one day now, 2 days, so I will make it 21 days, so I won't eat you. You know, I can even collapse. You better do it now before it reaches 10 days. Are you hearing me? But it changes something inside of you that makes you to refocus yourself and look to God as the source of everything. And make the things of God real to you. Are you still there, anybody? God has good in mind for you. Are you still there? But God wants you ready for what he has in mind. He needs you to ensure that your soul is ready. He needs you to ensure that this wineskin is prepared properly. Are you hearing me? Through your giving, through your fasting, through your prayer, he needs to ensure that you are a vessel that he can entrust with everything that he has. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning.
For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, you're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, Lord, say thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, Lord, thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me.
Because he said you should have called a healing line, but you didn't. Because God particularly gave me a healing unction. And I tend to sense that on my hand physically. And he said you should have. I told you you need to do that more often. I pray for people without touching people and all that. But he said you should do that more often. And you should have done that. And I had to tell him I'm sorry. So this morning you are sick. I want to pray for you. You want hands laid upon you, just come out very quickly. Because time is against us, but come out very quickly. I want to obey God this morning. I want to obey God this morning. Please keep playing. Thou, oh Lord, art a shield for me.
Thank you, because we will be like them that dreamt when you turn things around for us. It will be amazing. And we will testify of your goodness in this land of believing. Lord, we will be so different even by this time next year from who we are now, from where we are now, by the blessings of God coming our way. Yeah, just like you said in Proverbs chapter 3, you said you pour out new wine that will not have room enough to contain. Just as you said the vats will overflow. And like you said it the same in Malachi 3, you said there will not be room enough to contain it. We declare blessings that far overwhelm the room to contain them physically. But we declare that spiritually we are capable. We will be ready. We will be prepared. We will be the man, the woman that you can trust in this generation. The praise and the glory be yours. In Jesus' name.